All right, Rabbi, let's get started. Perikof Hey. So we spoke about last time, okay? Let's just remember. For those who weren't here, we had Yoshiyahu. Okay, Yoshiyahu was king. He was the father. Then we have the first son, who's king, who isn't the oldest, Yehoahaz. Yehoahaz is taken down to Egypt. He dies in Egypt. Who's up next? Yehoiakim.
Yehoiakim.
Okay, we have Yehoiakim. And his name was really Eliakim, right? And Yehoiakim is now made king. Then, after how long is he king for? He's king for 11 years. Okay? 11 years. He's bad. Then his son takes over Yehoiakim. Yehoiakim. Okay? Yehoiakim takes over and he's king for 3 months. So Yehoahaz and Yehoiakim are for 3 months. Okay, what happens in Yehoiakim's times, guys? Okay, the exile of the Charesh v'Amasger. That's the first real step of Golus. That's where everyone, all of the elite, the king, the queen, the whole chevra is taken. Talmid Chachamim are taken. The weapon makers are taken, and everyone is taken away. Now, we pointed out that there was no Churban. There was no Churban here. Yehoiakim gave himself up, and then they came into the Beis HaMikdash. They took out all the gold, all the silver, and the only thing that was left was Mamish, the Eitzim, the Avanim, but they don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So he pointed out maybe the Beis HaMikdash really didn't have to be destroyed. Then, after Yehoiakim is taken back to Bavel, okay, Nebuchadnezzar appoints Tzidkiyahu, okay? His name is really Matanya, Tzidkiyahu, okay, Matanya. And we said Tzidkiyahu is king for 11 years. So it's just an easy way to remember at the end. 11 years, 3 months, 3 months, 11 years, okay? Meaning 3 months, 11 years, 3 months, 11 years. Okay? What happens to Tzidkiyahu? So we're going to learn a lot about Tzidkiyahu. We're going to learn a lot about all of these kings. Mostly Yehoiakim and Tzidkiyahu in Sefer Yirmiyahu, the parts that we are going to see from Sefer Yirmiyahu. But there are clearly things going on in the background, right? The first most important thing which happens in the last 15 years is the Krav al Karkamish, right? Bavel totally takes over all of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is all the way pushed back. The Tanakh even tells us that Mitzrayim didn't come out anymore and therefore they weren't really a player in the international game. We pointed out that Yehoiakim and Yehoiakim maybe rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar because there were some rebellions. As soon as an empire comes up, so there's always rebellions. There's always rebellions, and then when there's a rebellion on the other side of the world, it takes a long time for an army to get from one place to another place. And so Nebuchadnezzar was dealing with issues over there while Yehoiakim comes and rebels against him. Anyways, eventually Nebuchadnezzar comes back and kicks everyone out. That's the galus of the Charesh v'Amasger. Then Tzidkiyahu takes over. Tzidkiyahu was, once again, a vassal king of Nebuchadnezzar. And probably he was appointed not only because he was from the Zera Malucha, but he was also probably pro-Babylonian. We'll see that in the Pesukim in a second. But at the end of last week, at the end of last Perek, we see that for some reason Tzidkiyahu rebels against him. Okay? Now, what's going on at this time period when Tzidkiyahu takes over? For the first few years, things are okay, although the city is pretty much ransacked and destroyed, but things are okay for the most part. And then at some point, in Sefer Yirmiyahu, it's the fourth year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, he rebels against Nebuchadnezzar. And once again, historically, that has to do with, it's amazing that we have the Kalim now, just to understand what's going on historically, is that there was a huge rebellion that actually started in the area of Yerushalayim. So Edom, all of Edom, Moab, Ammon, all of the small countries around Eretz Yisrael, around Eretz Yehuda, try to get together to rebel against the big Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, that's how they did it. They created coalitions to fight against Nebuchadnezzar. And we pointed out that at the end of all of this, Yerushalayim is left alone. Right? And that's what we said, that's the pshat in Echa Yashva Badad, Ha'ir Abbas Yam. It used to be, so Yerushalayim was, it had a lot of people, not only the people, the population living in, but it was also Korea Bagduba Hayula Loivim, is that all of the people that they thought they could rely on, they really couldn't rely on. And that's something that Yirmiyahu tries to, we're going to see this theme come up a whole lot of times in Yirmiyahu, is that what? Don't rely on anyone. Don't rely on anyone. Not only that, but be moda to Melech Bavel. Right? Bow your head to Nebuchadnezzar and everything's going to be okay. There's going to be a galus, but it won't be so bloody if you just bow out. And the Nevi'e Sheker, which we're going to see in Yirmiyahu, keep on saying, no, everything's going to be okay, everything's going to be okay. And that's why Tzidkiyahu goes up against Nebuchadnezzar, because he believes the false prophecies of these Nevi'e Sheker. Huh? He was a Rasha. So he believes, no, he believes the Nevi'e Sheker. The Nevi'e Sheker essentially say, huh? They're confirming his own thing. Well, everyone knows that Yirmiyahu is the real deal, right? But what? Sometimes you don't really want to hear the MS, right? So what the Nevi'e Sheker, for the most part, they always said whatever the king wanted to hear. And at this point, Tzidkiyahu wanted to hear, let's rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. So they actually, like we pointed out, they make all these nevuas how really the galus of the Charish v'Amazger that happened years before, they're going to come back. The Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash are going to return. Okay, that's where we are. Vayimrod Tzidkiyahu Melech Bavel. Okay, kafe. Vahi b'shnas atshis l'malcho b'chodesh ha'asiri b'asor l'chodesh. Asar b'teves. Bo Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel hu v'chol chelo al Yerushalayim v'yichan aleha v'yivnu aleha daik saviv. So they start the siege. They create this mountain around the walls. They start to build up for the siege. Until the 12th year of Tzidkiyahu. So how long does a siege take? About a year and a half. Okay? B'tisha'al ha'chodesh. V'yechazak harav ba'ir. V'lo haya lechem la'am ha'aretz. On the 9th of the month. The 9th of which month? Huh? Not Av. Av. Not Teves. Asara b'Teves. What are the fasts that we have? Asara b'Teves, Shivasar b'Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av. Okay? And Tzom Gedalia. But over here, it's not Shivasar b'Tammuz. It's the 9th of Tammuz. Okay? It's the 9th of Tammuz. So when the breach of the walls of Yerushalayim in the first Beis HaMikdash was on the 9th, okay? The famous Gemara has a discrepancy. We spoke about this a little bit, that by Bias Rishon it was the 9th, by Bias Sheni it was Shivasar B'Tammuz, and there's a whole back and forth, really was it on Shivasar B'Tammuz? That's what I told you guys about the Yerushalmi, the weird Yerushalmi. What does the Yerushalmi say? Kilkol Cheshbonos Yesh Kan. Is that the Pasuk went out of its way to really say that it was on the 9th, even though that it was on the 17th, to show you how crazy, like people didn't know what day it was. That was, if anyone remembers that point, then, huh? I think we definitely mentioned that. Okay. B'tishah l'chodesh v'chazak ra'av ba'ir v'layah lechem la'amaretz. Okay, people were mamish, they had ran out of food. Okay. V'tibakah ha'ir v'chol anshi ha'milchama ha'layla derech shar bin ha'chomosayim. Asher al gan hamelech v'kazdim al ha'ir saviv v'yelech derech ha'arava. So what's the significance of them running out of food? They obviously don't have anything to fight for. They not only do they not have anything to fight for, they have no koach to fight anymore. So the wall sort of, v'tibaka ha'ir, sort of breaks in on its own. Chol anshei ha'milchama ha'layla derech shar bein ha'chomosayim. They run in, the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar run in. V'aridifu chel kazdim achar hamelech. The king Tzidkiyahu starts to run away. He wants the book. He feels like he can get out of here. V'yirdefu chel kazdim achar hamelech v'yasigo oso b'arvos yirecho v'chol chelo nafotsu me'alav. In Divrei Hayamim, it sounds like there was some sort of me'ara. It sounds like there was some sort of cave, some sort of tunnel which led out to the area lekivun Mitzpe Yericho. We know where Mitzpe Yericho is. So to that way, so he figures that he's going to hide away and run away through this tunnel. But they find him. Barvos Yericho, v'chol chelo nafotsu me'alav. V'yitpesu es ha'melech v'yalu oso el melech bavel rivlasa v'yidabru ito mishpat. What's the mishpat about? Right? The mishpat is that you rebelled against me, and there's going to be din v'cheshbon here. So they catch him alive, they bring him up to Rivla, which is somewhere in Syria. So Nebuchadnezzar, at that point at least, wasn't in the city of Yerushalayim, meaning he came, but then the king isn't going to stick around for the entire siege. So he goes up to Rivla, and they take Tzidkiyahu up to Rivla, and what they do to him is mamish unbelievable. Ves b'nei Tzidkiyahu shachatu le'inav. They shechted his children right in front of him, not before. Ves einei Tzidkiyahu iver v'yasreu b'nuchushatayim v'yivyeu bavel. So the last thing that Tzidkiyahu saw with his eyes before they took out his eyes was the shechting of his children. A terrible achzari, what a terrible, terrible thing. And they brought him to Bavel. U'bechodesh ha-chamishi b'shiv'a l'chodesh. Hishnas 19 shana l'melech Nebuchadnezzar, melech Bavel, ba Nebuzaradaran, rav tabachim, eved melech Bavel Yerushalayim. So unlike what people think, who destroyed Yerushalayim, who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, wasn't Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, it was Nebuzaradaran. Okay, Nebuzaradaran comes on the 7th of the month. Okay, not the 9th, not Tisha B'Av, but the 7th of Av comes into the city and he starts to burn the place down. Vayisrov es beis Adonai ves beis HaMelech ves kol batei Yerushalayim ves kol beis gadol saraf ba'ish. He lit everything afire. Now Chazal over here say, oh, but what about the Tisha B'Av? So Chazal have this whole cheshbon how it started on the 7th, and they really only got to the Beis HaMikdash by the end of the 8th day. They started to burn the Beis HaMikdash on the 9th, and it went all the way throughout the 10th. And that's why we still are noheg min hage avelos on the beginning of the 10th, right? Okay. Veschomas Yerushalayim saviv natsu kol chel kazdim asher rav tabachim. There had never been such a destruction, not only of the Beis HaMikdash, but of the walls of Yerushalayim. Everything was destroyed. Ves yeser ha'am anisharim ba'ir ves anoflim asher naflu al melech bavel ves yeser ha'amon heglo nevuzardaran rav tabachim. Umidalat ha'aretz hishir rav tabachim lekormim uliyogvim. So now, Nebuzaradan, rav tabachim, obviously that name is kishmo kenhu, he was a murderer, okay? He was a tabach. And so he's killing people, sending everyone into galus.
He's still in Yerushalayim. After Tzidkiyahu was taken out, it was already a couple years later.
No. This is in the same. Remember, we're talking about the pritzas achomos. It happens when, so they only get through the walls on the ninth of Tammuz. Okay, then. No. The walls of Yerushalayim are broken down on the 9th. Okay? So you go ahead, basically a month forward, and this is when Nebuzaradan comes in. Okay? So
after the
Kharish Masgir, we're still there. Oh, so we said, who went to Galus by the Kharish Masgir? All of the elite. Okay? But there were a lot of people, there were Pshutei Am that were left there. Yeah, and Tzidkiyahu, meaning like Tzidkiyahu also had a whole... He probably had a chief of staff and a whole staff over there. Okay, as we're going to see, there were other people that were left over, right? Umidalas ha'am ha'aretz, umidalas ha'aretz, hishir rav tabachim lekormim v'leyogvim. So the Mefarshim aren't sure who these people are. What does it sound like? Kormim and yogvim. What does kormim sound like? Yeah, that's what it sounds like in modern Hebrew, but what it's kerem. What's a kerem? Okay, a vineyard. So kormim, so a lot of them in Farshay Apshat say that what did he leave over? He left over people to take care of the agriculture. Okay, that's the way that most of them in Farshay Apshat. Now, what is the significance for Nebuzaradan for keeping these kormim and what's the significance for him to have agriculture in Eretz Yisrael? Huh?
Strategic stronghold.
Why? But why agriculture? Huh? Right, but why? They want food. He wants food. Okay.
It's not green.
Okay. There's another sheet out there which Rashi quotes. He doesn't explain himself, but if you look at what Rashi says, "La yogvim chofrei haaretz." that they were the diggers of the land, Lashon Yekevim, Shehem Chafiros Bakarka. So Rashi doesn't necessarily connect it, I don't think, doesn't necessarily connect it with Chafirot of agriculture. Is it possible that these people are here to dig the ground? Why are you digging the ground?
Graves.
Mass graves. Mass. I haven't seen this written anywhere, but I don't think it's so rechok. That, meaning, that, if they want to conquer this, who's going to bury all these people? Tens of thousands of people are killed in this war. Tens of thousands. Right? I remember, I don't remember, but I remember hearing this story about that when in 1948, 1967, they took all of what we know as Gan Sakhar today, and they dug graves, tens of thousands of graves, because they thought that there were mamash going to be tens of thousands of people dead. It's unbelievable. And now Gan Sakhar is mamash gula. Okay. So they did what they did over there. They killed a lot of people. They left some people over. So it's clear that there's going to be people here even after the Churban. Ves amudia hanachoshes, asher beis Adonai, ves hamechonos, ves yam hanachoshes, asher beis Adonai, shibru kazdim. So the kazdim come in and they start destroying all of the kelim. The mechonos, the yam shel Shlomo, which unclear how it's possibly still here. Maybe they brought it back. Maybe they rebuilt it. They start destroying everything. Vayisu es nechushtam bavela. But they take everything which is of worth. They take it to Bavel. Vesasiros vesayayim vesazam mizamros vesakapos veskleya nechoshes asher yishar subam lakachu vesamachtatos vesamizrakos asher zahav zahav asher kesef kasev lakach rava tabachim. And so he took everything that was left of value in the Beis Hamikdash. Ha'amudim shnayim. Right? What do we know about the Amudim? Which Amudim? Boaz and Yachin, right? Remember how how important those Amudim were. Hayam ha'echad v'amechonas asher asah Shlomo l'beis Adonai lo hayam ishkal l'nechoshes kol ha'kelim ha'edle. So imamish, they took everything. Shmona asher ama komas ha'amud ha'echad v'koseres alav nechoshes v'komas ha'koseres shalosh ama ushvacha v'rimonim al koseres aviv ha'kol nechoshes v'keile la'amud ha'sheni ha'ashvacha. I was always curious as to like why the psukim have to go into such detail describing these things that we already know what they look like. Right, why do we have to go into like the amudim and how they were taken, the rimonim? Does anyone have a suggestion as to why the psukim have to go through such detail? How much it costed and how much it weighed? I think part of it has to do with is we're really
show what we lost,
but also to you know, when an artist is when an author is writing something down, he's trying to give you a picture of what's going on. So we could say like, oh, there's destruction, but he's actually trying to describe what it looked like, right? When they took down these massive amudim with the rimonim, and he's trying to describe to us what it looked like, right? He's trying to give us a picture to live with that. Vayikach Rav Tabachim Esaraya Kohen Harosh, Ves Tzifanyahu Kohen Mishneh, Ves Shloshes Shomrei Hasaf. So now Rav Tabachim, okay, this guy isn't done. He takes the Kohen Gadol, he takes the Mishneh Kohen Gadol, maybe the Kohen Mashuach, and he takes the Shomrei Hasaf, these three chiefs of staff. Uminair lakach sarisa chada shehu pakid al anshei ha'melchama, v'chamisha anashim miro'ei pnei ha'melcha asher nimtzu'u ba'ir, v'es ha'sofer sar ha'tzava ha'matzbias am ha'aretz, v'shishim ish me'am ha'aretz ha'nimtzaim ba'ir. So what does this guy do? He comes and he takes essentially anyone who is left with some form of a job. Okay? Anyone who had a role within the chief of staff, the Kohanim, anyone who meant anything that was left, okay? Take them all outside of the city. Vayikach osam nevuzadaran rava tabachim, vayolech osam al melech bavel rivlasawi. So he brings them all up to Rivla. Vayach osam melech bavel vayemisein berivla be'eretz chamas. So Nebuchadnezzar kills them all. Vayigal Yehuda ma'al admaso. And Am Yisrael now, Yehuda is now in Golus. Va'am hanishar be'eretz Yehuda asher hishir Nebuchadnezzar melech bavel. Vayafkeid aleihem es Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shafan. Okay. So the story that we're about to read is really, really a kitzer version of the story which is found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. We're going to read it. We're not going to get into so many small details because we're going to see it when we see Sefer Yirmiyahu. So it sounds like over here, Vayafked Alehem es Gedaliyahu ben Achikam ben Shafan, is that Nebuchadnezzar wanted people to stay here. He wanted people to stay here. This wasn't like Sancheiriv. Sancheiriv wasn't, displacing people totally, bring new people in. Okay, he wanted some people to stay here, maybe because he knew what happened when Sancheiriv displaced the Jews with the whole thing with the lions. But anyways, he leaves a governor and he puts Gedaliah over these people. And now we're
Where are they living?
They're living probably some in Yerushalayim, some on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. We're talking about hundreds of people. Mamish, hundreds of people. Yeah. I would say at max 200 people. Okay? But there's also people, Chevra, when Bavel comes, so there's people that run away. Like, we don't think about that. But, like, people ran away. You know, like in the Holocaust, Lolino also. People ran away from the Germans. So it's sort of like something which the Tanakh doesn't necessarily speak about, but it's clear that people ran away. People ran away to Mitzrayim. People ran away to Edom, to Moab, to Ammon. Anyone who had a family member, anyone who could sort of had some sort of connection outside of Eretz Yisrael runs away. And we're going to see that they come back. Vayishmu kol sarei ha'chayalim heima v'anashim, ki hefkid melech Bavel es Gedaliyahu, v'yavo el Gedaliyahu ha'mitzpah. So these people that, they were sarei ha'chayalim, they were generals. So why weren't they killed? Kanireh, these are people that had run away. But now they find out that Gedaliah becomes king. And it could be that some of these people are from the Zera Melucha, and Gedaliah is not necessarily from the Zera Melucha. Ve'avo el Gedaliyahu ha-mitzvah. They come to the mitzvah. V'ishma'el ben Nesanya v'Yochanan ben Kerach Usraya ben Tanchumes Hantofasi V'aznayu ben Amachati Hema v'anshehem. So all these people come. V'yishava lahem Gedaliyahu anashehem. So what is the message? What is the message which Gedaliah is giving over to these people? I know you ran away, and I know it might seem weird that Nebuchadnezzar made me like sort of the governor, but really, like, just serve him. Everything's going to be okay. We are going to be the Sheiris HaPleita. We are going to build Geula. Like that really was what Gedaliah thought. Vayhi bechodesh hashvi'i, vayishmael ben Nesanya ben Elishama mizera melucha, vasara anashim ito vayakuas Gedaliah vayamos. But, and we'll see exactly why, but right before Rosh Hashanah, we see Yishmael ben Nesanya ben Elishama comes from the Zera Melucha. Obviously, he probably wants to be in charge. And 10 other people, and they kill Gedaliah. Vesa Yudim, Vesa Kazdim, Asher Hayu Ito b'mitzpah. Not only that, Sefer Malachim doesn't really tell the extent of the story, but they massacre all of the Jews essentially that are left with Gedaliah and the other Kazdim as well. Vayakumu kol ha'am mikaton v'ad gadol v'sarei ha'chayalim v'yavo Mitzrayim ki yaru mipnei Kazdim. And so, what do they do? They know what they just did is they kill the governor, an appointed leader by Nebuchadnezzar. So what do they have to do? They have to get out of there. So they run to Mitzrayim. And what's the significance of running to Mitzrayim? It represents it represents essentially the undoing of everything that Gulas Mitzrayim was about. Right? We know that there's an Isser in the Torah that you shouldn't go back to Mitzrayim. Because it's undoing the Gulas Mitzrayim, it's undoing its Yes Mitzrayim. It's undoing everything that we've worked for hundreds of years. For hundreds of years, very 800 years since Mitzrayim. Right? And now we go back, running away. Running to Mitzrayim. How ironic, we're running to Mitzrayim to be helped. It's terrible. So now, the psukim over here end off in a little bit of a weird way. It's okay, we'll read them, and then we'll see a little bit in Divrei Hayamim, and then we'll finish up. It's 8:59. Vayhi b'shloshim v'sheva shana l'galus Yehoyachin, melech Yehuda, b'shneim asar chodesh, b'esrim v'shiva l'chodesh, Nasa Evil Merodach Melch Bavel Bishnas Malcho Es Rosh Yoyachin Melch Yudami Beis Kela. So the significance of these numbers and these years is going to become very, very important when we learn Sefer Daniel, when we learn Megillas Esther, when we learn Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah. The significance of these numbers is going to be really important because Yirmiyahu and Yeshayahu and many others have the nevuah that Am Yisrael is going to be in Galus for how long? For 70 years. For 70 years. So now the significance, Vayhi b'shloshim v'sheva shana l'Galus Yoyachin, one of the countings, is when does Galus start? From the Galus of Charish v'Amazger, right? So what happens? Nebuchadnezzar dies and his son, Evil Merudach, which maybe kills him, maybe doesn't kill him, Evil Merudach takes over and he takes Yoyachin out of jail and he brings him up, right? It's the same Lashon of Haman, is that Haman is also raised amongst all of the other officers, right? Takes him out of jail. Vaidaberi to tovos, vaitenes kiso mal kisei hamalachim asher ito bebavel. And he makes him like this significant role within the Babylonian, the empire. Vishina is bigdei kilo v'achal lechem tamid lefanav kol yimei chayav. V'ruchaso aruchas tamid nitnalo b'meis ha-melech davar yom biyomo kol yimei chayav. So it's like sort of like a, okay, you know, things aren't so bad. The question is that like if Yirmiyahu like wanted to end this sefer off on like a bad note, doesn't it sound like he's ending it off on like a little bit of a positive note? What's the positive note? What's the positive note here? This is like the beginning. It sounds like this is the beginning of a little bit of a geula, of a little bit of a geula. But not all of the Farshim agreed to that assessment of these psukim. There's another way to see it. And the other way to see it is that Am Yisrael now is starting to become very, very comfortable with Churban. Right? Although they are no longer oppressed in the way that they were, although there's no more destruction, but the Jews are becoming comfortable in their placement in the Babylonian government. Right? The Churban is not only a geographical one, but it's a mindset one. And Yoyachin becomes comfortable. He eats, he changes his clothing. So really that epitomizes essentially what the Churban is all about. So this isn't like ending off on like a, don't worry, it's all going to be okay. That's what Divrei HaYamim ends off. Divrei HaYamim ends off with what? Right, it ends off with pasuk kaf aleph lemlaus dvar adonai pi Yirmiyahu ad ratzta aretz et shabtotah kol yemei hashama shavta lemlaus shivim shana. Just like Yirmiyahu said, at the end of 70 years, things are going to be gone. And then he starts off the same pasuk. These are the same pasukim which are found in the beginning of Sefer Ezra. Ubishnas achas lekoresh melech paras lichlos dvar adonai mi pi Yirmiyahu heir adonai esruach koresh melech paras veaver kol bechol malchuzo. So now this is the beginning. This is the beginning of Koresh. Koresh is who? The first Persian king. Okay, the first Persian king. What do the Persians do? They destroy, first of all, before giving us the Beis HaMikdash, they destroy Bavel. Okay? And this happens after 70 years. And the question that we're going to have to ask ourselves is, at what point? Which 70 years are we talking about? From Yoyachin, from the Churban, from the Golas Tzidkiyahu? Those are going to be the questions that are going to be bothering Am Yisrael because they know they have this galus of 70 years. The question is, when is it up? And then the question becomes is, even when it's up, are we going to get up and do something about it? Koresh comes and says, you can return to Eretz Yisrael. You can return, not only can you return, but you can build the base of Mikdash. And what happens to Am Yisrael? To be continued. Yasher Koach, guys. Yeah.